1,400.
1,400.
They're all 1,400.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I have a question. John, you mentioned this is considered a high-rise. What would, are the setbacks different for a mid-rise?
I have to go back and look at that.
Roger, did you know that?
Yeah, no doubt.
It seems odd that a four-story structure is a high-rise.
I would agree with you, but that is how the definition reads.
We're going to take a look at that. That's, doesn't make it, it's the same height as a single-family home.
But there are single families that high.
That's what he, just on the corner, yeah, duplexes, but same thing.
But that's a, they're caught, is, are they stacked at all, or they just, there's four singles there?
They're side-by-side twins.
Yeah, they're four-story side-by-sides with roof decks, yeah. They're not stacked.
Just something probably for us to look at to clarify that.
Yeah.
That redevelopment area, that overlay district. Not a big issue, it's really just a personal question for my own edification.
You want to answer, Roger, you want me to give this?
Go ahead.
In the R9 overlay, under the high-rise, because it's a major site plan, technically you need 10,000 square feet.
Right.
So we don't have that. Technically, you need a lot width of 100. We don't have that. Lot depth is 100. We don't have that. Building coverage was just barely over, between 60% or 63, 75 lot or 80. Front yard setback is 15, we're 12 and 8.5 to the balcony. Side yards are technically 15, as John testified, 4-4. And then goes with your high-rise, once again, they're expecting that you're building
Right.
a high-rise.
That's why I was trying to see if there's a comparison to the mid-rise.
And the project that we got previously approved 12 years ago, the same footprint that we're using now. I mean, the same setbacks were approved then, we're doing it now.
Okay.
And the same setbacks we looked at for today's project is what was like next door, is their same setback, as John said, 4-foot setbacks. And if you look at the new projects down the street, that the duplexes, same type of setbacks. So from a setback point of view, even though we're classified as a high-rise, it's hard to say that it's a high-rise when you're looking at the other properties and other things. I'll let John go jump in.
Yeah, I actually printed out the whole section. There is no mid-rise standard. They identify garden apartments, they identify townhouses and duplexes, and they identify apartment high-rise.
Okay.
So there isn't actually a standard.
Gotcha.
But like, if you go to like the smaller scale types of buildings, the setbacks are right, keeping what we're asking.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like, if you go to the, you know, you can build a single-family house, it's essentially the same size as what we're proposing here, and most of the setback they're proposing would comply.
And even a garden apartment building with four units in it would be 4-foot setbacks?
I think the garden apartment actually has greater side yards.
15-foot.
Just a question for the team. Now, when you're looking at this site, you have an opportunity, and it's always incumbent to ask the question, is there a better way to site the building on the site than you have your current building?
No way.
Well, our answer was, if you look at what you just previously approved with the three duplexes, those side-by-side duplexes were on the same 50-foot lot.
I'm not asking that question. I'm asking if there a better way to site the building on the site for the benefit of the building and the community? That's all I'm asking. Yes or no?
My answer would be that where we sited it is the best location, or we wouldn't have proposed it that way.
Ask and answer. Thank you very much.
I had a question regarding the parking. If you're going to still be providing that full 9-foot space in the front with that support in the middle, it just seems like a lot. You're just going to see a row of cars across the front of this on the pavement. I mean, you have a triplex, at least the cars are a little more spaced, or you have landscaping. There's just going to be a lot of cars across the face, and I didn't know how, if you still had your full 9-foot width, and then if you're having cars parking all the way up to that lobby, it just seems a lot in terms of the parking. That guy pulls up all the way in front of that lobby door.
So, yeah, I mean, the answer to your question is, yes, there are, each one is just 9 feet wide. But keep in mind that, you know, the question regarding the lobby door, cars aren't 9 feet wide.
The one inside, I guess.
Oh, you're talking about here?
Yeah.
And that's why I think
And these storage doors. It's just a lot, if you only have 20 feet there, and you're trying to get stuff in and out of there, and you have cars parked, it's
Yeah, I think that's why we're sort of, they kind of hugged it toward that side, so that it wasn't, so you would have that kind of moving between the cars there. You remember, the space is identified 9 feet wide, but that 9 feet is so that you can park your car and get out of it.
Now, question, the doors have to be fire rated on the store, on the storage units? Is that they?
Yes.
Okay. That, because I was looking at, thinking of, because Jessica brought up a good point, is if there's a different type of door that can be used, that did the swing out, but then was either slid across, or like a barn door, or was a lift type door?
Well, they swing in so they don't swing into the car.
I know that, but when they swing in, they also, it drew.
Right.
So that's why I was asking.
Yeah. Yeah, sliding doors are not rated doors.
They don't seal.
Well, again, we're not going to redesign the code.
So, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, you're fine.
What concerns me a bit is the building coverage. I know you're going to say we approved it. I approved it. That was 12 years ago. Things change. I've changed, and I don't like to see that cloud of coverage. I could probably live with the 63% for the building, but the lot, that's substantially more than a lot of the approvals that we have been giving, specifically since our Superstorm Sandy. So is there any way you can address that, improve it, do something with it?
What are the, are they stepping stones that are around the back? Is that what that is?
Yes. I mean, we are counting them as impervious, so.
Can we just put grass back there?
We can, yes. It will be a traffic area because it is access to the trash and what have you, so it's going to get used a lot.
Can we look at some kind of permeable surface there then?
Yeah, we could go with a, I mean, we could go with a stepping stone. That's a.
It may not meet our definition of permeable.
Right.
But it can still serve the same purpose.
We could go with a stepping stone. That's a permeable surface for sure.
It'll still be the lot coverage at 85%, but it's something that will allow water to go through it.
Yeah, with that we could definitely do. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll put grass and then we'll put these square stepping stones. We step on the stepping stones. My understanding of the definition of whether or not that's impervious or not is whether or not water can go through it and if it contributes to runoff. But if you have grass between each of the stepping stones, in my opinion, it doesn't contribute to runoff because it has to go in the grass.
Right.
So if we did it as grass with stepping stones, like 2 foot by 2 foot or something like that.
Well, that's how we have it. I think what Lance is saying, that's how you have it now, right? I think what Lance is saying is utilize a pervious surface for the stepping stone itself as well, like a quartz paper or a grass block paper or something,
right, something like that.
That.
Yep.
Which we can do.
And I think that, by the definition, it's still coverage, but it gets us to a point where it's permanent.
Okay, so what does that do to the numbers? I mean, backyard is pretty small.
He's not doing that at all.
I don't
think it technically does anything.
Yeah, it does.
I understand that.
I guess the trade-off that you have is, this is probably what, other than people next door, we're providing parking. So, I mean, you can't rip out the concrete in front and then tell you, okay, give me a 4 or 5 space parking variance.
No, I understand that.
So that's,
but it's just, in my opinion, these are the things we have to be vigilant about.
Mr. Ryan, any board members like to ask us additional questions? I have a question.
John, how about if we...
I was just going to say one other thing before you say that, Roger. We were just talking to our client, and he's more than happy to have all of the front parking spaces have wheel strips to allow for additional grass in the front yard as well.
Okay.
Which would give you, four areas of grass. I mean, it would be a considerable amount as compared to what's proposed now.
It would look better.
It would go rather than the pavement and the cars.
Right, there's walking pavement, we give the car driveway grass.
Real grass or asphalt?
Real grass. Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
Well, mentioned, we're talking about that, so if the parking lot's being used and the cars are over the grass won't live.
They're engineered.
And from the heat too, so I know in other places we've allowed artificial grass, or like a stone beds are actually introducing recharge also, which is actually more effective than grass. Would entertain that idea?
I think it's a better idea.
To me, the grass below cars is gonna be a maintenance nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't get it to grow between my driveway and my neighbor's.
Right. The dandelions are like it. Even in the back, I'm thinking maybe you could put like pavers on a thick stone base that will have more storage capabilities than grass will.
We could certainly do that, yes.
Okay.
Because I was gonna ask.
Ray, what do you feel about the artificial grass?
What Roger was talking about, like he talks about the trees.
Instead of the real grass, but it's not gonna live. Do we do stone?
Well, then we have to find another alternative.
Stone or something like that?
Artificial grass, why do you want to put more plastic in the ground?
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Or the other idea is to put pavers with thick gaps on like a 12-inch stone bed.
What is it, I'm sorry?
Pavers with gaps of sand on stone, it actually hold more water than wood.
Yeah, that's my concern. I just want to know that there's adequate runoff, and what they're presenting, the initial presentation, to me, is not satisfying. So if we can come up with a better solution, it's not my area of expertise, so that's why we're talking about it.
John?
Yes.
There are management plans you have. You're gonna move trash. Could you show on your plan, basically, where the trash is stored, and the place the trash is moved to the street, I would presume?
Sure, yes. The trash area is in the back of the building. So, you're coming around the building with the trash to bring it out front.
So, if you put blocks in there with grass and stuff, and those cans are wheeled or something like that, they're gonna be hard to manipulate. Through the different levels and so on. So I think Roger is going on. It's a very good idea. And then the other thing that can be done, which we've done in buildings and see, is recharge basins over just do 3-foot pits or 4-foot deep pits with the geotextile stone in the inside, and your runoff goes in there, and the extra runoff overflows out to the drainage.
I've never heard him say that.
So the answer to that question is we can easily do dry wells at each one of the downspouts that would then, but then the surface grade would be such that the water could still get out to the street so it doesn't impact the neighbors. That's not an issue at all.
I think that's a better way of handling the water.
They have to be shallow because we have shallow groundwater on the island, but you could certainly do something that will be effective.
That'd be 3 feet by, in there. Mm-hmm. You just have to begin, you have to size them based on the runoff you have. So they may have to be wider. Sometimes you should actually ditch the whole thing and put a ditch back there and then create the whole perimeter like that. And that will manage the runoff greatly. And you won't have a lot of problems.
Agreed.
And the next thing is with the cars that are, with the parking you have, people always push sites. Now, is it, with the way the parking is set up, can they squeeze a couple more cars on there on a weekend?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I just asked the question, because sometimes we have problems, and I'm looking at how you're using it.
Yeah.
And with planning and zoning, it's like, where are the abuses sometimes? And is this a candidate for it? But yeah, you're saying it's not.
No, this is not a site where you should be able to put another car in the way that it's laid out now.
Okay.
Another question.
Yes.
As you see around town, golf courses are probably more prevalent down here. I would bet anything on the vehicle parks and golf courses there, under the garage area, or one of the outlets. Because we don't want to be showing section courts coming down here or storage.
So the answer to that question is, there certainly can be. I don't know that was thought about. If somebody wants a golf cart, you can offer away from the charger, you don't have extension cords running around the yard.
Yeah, all parts plug into the regular ones you have.
Right.
It would be closed down on that.
Yeah,
that's all you need. Yeah. Right, that's fine. I just don't want extension cords coming down from balconies or from right there, storage units, getting plugged,
Understood.
Mr. Barnhart, could you tell the board exactly the regulations that govern, is a golf cart governed just like a car is, or is there a special, you know, as we have parking regulations and so on? Is the golf cart under the same regulations or under different regulations?
So I'm not an expert in that, Mr. Cook, but I will tell you that if it has a license plate on it and it's being driven on the road, it's got to follow all the same requirements as a car. I'm not quite sure what your, what regulations are talking about.
So if there's a 9x19 parking place, if you have to supply a 9x19 parking place for that golf cart.
So I don't think that any zoning regulations have caught up to golf cart parking yet, but it is considered a car, so it, but the ordinance is driven by the number of bedrooms, as you know, so whether they have one golf cart and a car, or two cars, or two golf carts, they're required to have two spaces. How they use them and what parks in them, I don't know that we have any control over.
See, the part of the problem going forward is that if you have a small golf cart, and the golf cart displaces a full-size car, the full-size car is moved out on the street, then we've actually increased the parking with by putting a demand by putting a golf cart in.
Yeah, I think we're getting off the beaten track. Golf carts really have no basis.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Our police department will take it whether it's parked illegally.
Let's move on.
Essentially, people have two cars and two driveways, and they still leave them on the street. You can't, you know.
And they block your neighbor's driveway across the street.
I have a question about the site. Is that tree, this tree new? Is that part of your?
Yes. That's supposed to be a street tree.
One street tree.
Yes.
Red maple, right? I guess what I saw, yeah, red maple.
So the garage doors are basically double doors, double treble size?
It's two double doors with a freight man leaving, that's correct.
Now go up through.
Yes.
And then, so what you see in the rendering is the outside space?
Correct. The double garage door is back in that court area, correct. The exterior spaces are partly covered by the door, correct.
Mr. Dothe, this evening, you mentioned there are certain materials and colors you'll be using. When the plans are submitted to the board, could they label where the colors and materials are going to be so that we know that this is what we approved and what you were showing us?
Yes, I could do that.
Or a list, yeah.
That's part of the reason I rendered the elevations to the point so you could actually see and feel the textures almost through the drawing.
But now I'd like to have identification to that so it jives with the board.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have one further question. Is there anything you'd like to do to this site that would enhance the building for the city that's not here, that we have not covered?
That would enhance this building with the existing site that we have to work with?
Yes.
No.
Thank you very much. Pass it in.
And that's hard for me to say.
You know that.
We like your honesty.
I think the alteration of the driveway, that's going to be a slight enhancement for the city.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I thought they were some really good ideas because I agree. I felt like that was too broad a pavement, and that'll help to break it up when you're walking by and everything, and create that additional texture and feeling that we're trying to replicate or keep on the building.
I know that building will speak to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for
noticing.
Yes. Did you decide what the driveway is going to be? I know we weren't set on the artificial grass. We talked about pavers with something there to allow.
Wasn't there a notice that were going to be pavers somewhere in the front?
In the back there was, but in the front, it looks like.
No.
It's a concrete paver driveway there for a little more gapping to allow water to pass through, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you'll provide details to Roger.
What's the base stuff? What is the base the pavers will be on?
Stone, like about 8 or 10 inch stone, and the layer of sand.
I'm a little lost here.
So What I think the board's looking for is something on the, underneath those concrete pavers with a little wider gap in it that will allow water to go through it, put that on a stone base.
And this is for the walkway going to the back?
No, this is for the driveway and the driveway.
This is for the driveway, I'm sorry, okay. So...
I was thinking like a 12-inch stone base, wrapped in fabric, sand on top, put the pavers on the sand.
And then porous paver, a porous paver as the surface?
Porous paver in regards that the gaps will provide.
Okay, and the entire surface would be the porous paver, and we're, so we're getting away from putting grass wheel strips, which we're fine with, we just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, I think the discussion was the grass is going to be a maintenance hassle.
It's going to die.
Yeah, so we can develop a recharge bed with a filter fabric around it, and then a sand base, and then the pavers on top. That's, we're more than happy to do that. And in addition, the dry wells at the downspout locations.
Okay.
If we're throwing stuff out...
Or something equipment.
If you don't mind, if you're throwing stuff out there, Rive Oak liked a lot, and I look at so many houses in Longport, on the right-hand side before you get to the end, there's a modern house with a driveway like that, with cutouts, with black goose stones, and it looks fantastic. Just take a glance at that house, and I think you may, because what you did with the colors and everything to make it look so good, I think it'll make it pop, like really, really nice, instead of just plain old paper.
It extrudes the architecture.
Yes.
But we're not talking about porous paper. It's porous in the fact that any water that hits it runs into those stone beds.
Correct.
Just to be...
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, because otherwise the porous paper throws us into...
You don't want to drive on them, it's a problem, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Callahan, would you like to open to the public? Are you prepared to have this on?
Yeah, I'm going with this, good day. That
can be Mr. Gordon. Mr. Board, your question's been answered?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, let's go up to the public then. Is there one anywhere in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? No comment?
Yeah.
Yes.
One shot.
Okay. Sir, could you please come forward? Thank you for being patient. Waiting for your turn.
Just need your name and address, and I'll swear you in, please.
So, my address down here is 107 South Survey. Ben.
Okay.
And I'm one of the, I'm a point unit, but this man just showed you.
And your, and your name is?
Larry Berger.
Larry Berger.
And my permanent residence is in Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania.
Mr. Berger, please raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth tonight?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So, am I allowed to ask anybody here a question?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, you were talking about bedrooms. In those units, the six units, and you're saying it was five bedrooms?
Yes.
I live in one, and it's only four.
So there is an in slash study in those units, is there not?
No.
Well, then they were modified. They were approved as five bedroom units.
Okay. Well, I only got four.
Okay.
And no study.
Okay.
So I just wanted to point that out, whatever reference he was trying to make to these. Second, Paul McLean wrote a said that he had.
Sir, Larry, could you go? Could we bring the mic down so Larry, we can hear Larry? Yes.
Okay. My understanding is Paul McLean was here with Jim on the 27th, and they were prepared to make a 5-point presentation of what they were against. I have a text of that presentation, and it's eloquently written. So I would ask that I could read this to the board.
Well, you could state it as your own, but to read another statement of another person, if you're saying these are my concerns and here and it's properly worded by someone else, I guess I'm...
But he also said that he had submitted a petition. The variance.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? Get the mic lower for you, Larry. I picked the mic up.
It bends at the bottom there.
Yeah.
Okay. So he said that he submitted a petition for a variance before the board for hearing on Monday, January 27th at 6:30. That was postponed because there wasn't enough people here. I came to that meeting. So that's why I'm asking if I can read this presentation.
Please.
Okay.
Mr. Callahan, any?
Is this Mr. Berger's concerns, or is this Mr. Berger testifying as to what Mr. McLean's concerns?
Both. I said I was a concerned neighbor.
I did, but are you reading his, or are you telling us what your concerns are?
I'm concerned about all these 5 points.
If it's your position that these 5 points you're going to read are his, are your concerns, but maybe someone else has kind of articulated them a little better, and you're going to read them as your concerns, subject to cross-examination, then...
You're welcome to do it.
Then go ahead.
But if I'm subject to cross-examination, I don't have the knowledge and the facts that this person put into it.
You can't be presented.
Oh. Then, the problem is you can't represent someone else, and someone else's text messages are hearsay. So, if you can articulate concerns that you have, you can present them to the board. But just to say, here, Paul such and such is concerned, I'm reading for him.
They were the major, Jim and Paul were the major movers behind this. They live in the pink house that they believe is very adversely affected.
Just go and tell us what your concerns are.
Okay, I guess my biggest concern here is that that it seems as though this project seeks a variance of virtually every code and mandated setback applicable to the property. If the variance is granted, floodgates would be open to developers to take an ordinary single-family lot and propose high-rise apartments. If 108 can argue that their pre-existing four-unit garden apartments aren't a four-floor high-rise for which variances are necessary, then the apartment building at 105 could argue that its 12 units warrant a 12-4 high-rise solution. So it seems like this is maximizing every possible variance and setback that there is. That's what it seems to me. And I heard that this is, they've explained it in technical terms, which I can't echo, but that's what it seems to me, that it's seeking to maximize anything and everything to the very property line. And my unit is very close to all of this at 107 South Surrey. So that's what I wanted to say. And that the other thing is that I'm confused in that, and I've heard some of the people here talk about this, that it was approved several years ago, 11 years ago. Then I've heard that approval ran out, that doesn't count anymore. So I'm not sure why that's applicable. Saying that it was approved 10, 11 years ago, use the same thing. If it's not the existing ordinances and requirements, then why is that applicable that it was approved 10 or 11 years ago?
So, if you don't mind.
I think the applicant can present anything that they feel that's necessary for the board to have an informed historical representation, and if they want to present documents that this project was approved 11 years ago, I don't have an objection to them doing that.
It's history, Larry. It's what it is.
So it's applicable. It's comparison.
It's history.
Okay.
And the board can interpret it how they would raise so much.
And one of the other questions I have is, does any variance being asked for affect fire and other protective services in the area and on the block?
You say that again, I'm sorry.
Does any of the variances being asked for affect any protective service on the block?
Absolutely not.
Not?
You actually compared it, or I want to correct you, compared it to 105 South Missouri.
107.
No, you're 107.
Yeah.
South Missouri.
South Surrey.
South Surrey.
Yeah.
I mentioned 105 South Victoria, did you not?
I did.
You did. There's no comparison between that. I do all fire inspections on that street. No comparison for this building, 105 South Victoria. I would replace 105 South Victoria today with that.
Okay.
There's no concerns.
From a safety standpoint, Lieutenant?
Yes. Safety, aesthetics, whatever you want to say, but mainly safety.
So.
I just want to add something here, because you made a point about the fact that it was approved before. And the reason we're hearing it now is because it has expired, but we're hearing it because the board has the ability to vote for it or against it, because it's an older application. And we've reviewed all the approvals that we've given, and we pretty much feel the consensus I'm getting is that it's still a valid application and a good use for that site. So if it was a bad application and we did not want to have it, we would have taken that opportunity to negate the whole thing. But the board, basically, we have reviewed it and feel that it's a solid application. So okay. It's a good question that you asked.
Mr. Berger, I don't know if you're aware, but the property that you live in, they're doing the same thing. The property you live in had the same situation. It was approved and went away for quite a few years and then came back just the way they did. So they're not asking for any more than what you had already received.
And I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
However, when I moved in and was sold that property by the real estate agent, very popular real estate agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Was told that this was improving the whole neighborhood.
It did.
And I believe it did.
It absolutely did. One of Ventnor's nicest pieces of property to develop. And it was hard for us to approve that because we hadn't done that before. And the fact that the application was gone for so long and it came back with a new investor with better ideas, and that's what they're trying to do, because this plan is better than the first one that was presented. I'm just telling you that. And the way the architect presented it with the explanation of the materials, I'd like to live next to this place. That's how nice it is, you know? So maybe just, I know Jim is a very intelligent man and he's right next to him, but once he sees this done, I really do believe it's going to be happening. It's going to increase the value of everybody's property, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just wanted you to get some other sense, and which I agreed with in presenting that to you.
Yeah. Thank you for sitting there all night to do this and present it to us. And we do appreciate everybody's comments when they come and talk to us.
Someone had brought up that. And the question to these people, is there any other modification of, and I would say, put it in the sense of, it appears that it's an imposing, it's big, and it's going to overshadow some of the properties. If there was any other modification, then.
It's 6 feet lower than your property. That's 52 feet, yours is 58.
Right, and then somebody said that they're adding 5, 6, 7 feet up to do something to walk up to. So if you walk up to a floor, wouldn't that make it 57 feet? The same thing. And it's not so much my, I have the best unit in them, those six. I have great views.
Mm-hmm.
It's a front one. But the property that's right next to it, it's a pink house on Victoria.
Yes.
They're concerned that it's going to be very imposing. And it seems to me it's big enough that may be happening. So
a single family home can be built on that lot, this particular lot, to an elevation of, what is it?
57 feet.
Well, 37 from flood elevation, which is 11.
I believe, yeah, 47 feet from grade.
Yeah, 47 feet from grade, which is actually lower than your home. So. No matter what gets built there, and we shouldn't even be talking about his neighbor's concern, because it's not him that's concerned.
Well, I'm here now.
Okay, well, there you go. Then he can talk about it.
Billy. Thanks for calling us at our request. I thought it was bad, yeah.
Yeah, we took up your request, it was denied, but when Mr. Berger's done, you can come up and speak.
Then that would be the person to speak about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berger.
Yeah, I'm just, number one, I'm disappointed that the board couldn't.
Hold on one sec. You're.
I'm Paul McLean, 106 South Victoria.
Okay, Mr. McLean, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So I just want to, you know, express I'm awfully disappointed. Yet my neighbor is handicapped. I was going to be slated to bring him down there. Philly just got 4 inches of snow last night. They're still cleaning up. It's freezing rain all the way down here. But I text a friend of mine who was at the meeting, and he said, no, they're going forward with it. So I hopped in the car and drove down here. And I don't have any of my files with me because I thought the board would extend the courtesy of one of its own people. I've lived there since 2006 or 7. Dr. Plotka hasn't lived there, and there's no rush for a development that essentially they're bringing something that was proposed in 2008. Now all of a sudden it's a rush for 1 month, you know, or 2 weeks even. So I'm completely disappointed with this board not having extended us the courtesy of, you know, allowing a postponement. When I was here last week, or 2 weeks ago, and you granted him the courtesy of extending because board members were vacant.
Board members, sir, board members were vacant because they were ill and could not attend.
Okay, and there's a storm.
One second, sir.
Yes.
The board, you can criticize the board as you wish. We don't play favorites with any neighbors or residents of the city. We represent the people of the city, all of the people of the city, not just one, not just two, but everyone.
Yeah.
And that is how we look at things. We do.
And a postponement's out of the question for the people.
It's
when the only people objecting to it are.
Can I speak, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, request can be made. The board took your request up, gave it due consideration, and so on down the line. This hearing has been going on. Three shots at it now, and going through. And there is a process that we have with the state as well, that we have time limits as well to go through. Now, you're here, make the best of what you've got in here and give us your viewpoint instead of busting our chops. Now, if you feel that way, that's fine. You've expressed it.
Okay.
We'll take note of that.
Thank you.
But now, let's get on with business here.
Okay, so
and let's move ahead.
If the board has reviewed the letter I submitted, I, you know, essentially lay out all the arguments, you know, for rejecting this application. I had started with, you know, wondering if there was even a zoning allowance in that the theme of the overlay district is to uphold current development patterns in the city. This is not a current development pattern. I don't know anywhere where there's a four unit or any other high rise built in the city.
Excuse me, you missed quite a bit of testimony here.
Sure.
Aerial photos showing the entire block and how.
Those are existing, sir.
Yeah, right.
So your development ordinance says that it allows existing high rise development. They have to make a provision for that when zoning ordinances are created, because otherwise they would be out of compliance. Then it says, and then the board went and did, you know, an overlay district to try and create rules around allowing other high rises should they choose to have this represent a development pattern that the city would like to partake in. I'm arguing that this isn't a development pattern that currently exists. It hasn't for a long time. Those buildings were built years and decades ago. So this isn't a current development trend.
On the corner, you have 30 bedrooms and 6 properties.
It's not a high rise.
50,
this is a
50,
high rise.
50, well, 50 by.
I understand what other development is going on, duplexes, single family homes. There isn't anything that's classified as a high-rise. And if I'm wrong, you know, if you...
How high is this building, sir?
It's a story above mine, and I see they've got the rooftop deck back on there. So whatever...
How high is the building on the corner?
Which one? The one on...
Mr. Burke.
Larry's?
58,
okay. Yeah, well, what I'm arguing is that this isn't the kind of product that the city is, you know, currently on a development trying to produce. But that was my first argument.
Well, I just want to be clear, is it higher or lower? It's lower than the...
He's a story and a half higher than I am.
No, than the previous development on the corner. It's lower than the existing buildings, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, just so you're aware, sir, is that the building code, or that defines this building as a high-rise. Normally, it would be called less than that. Now, you can build a house as high as that building, and still, it's not a high-rise.
High-rise is a use. It doesn't have anything to do with...
I understand that.
You know, it's a use. It's four units. So my neighbor is four units.
Right.
I don't have one neighbor. I have four neighbors.
Okay.
So that was my first argument.
But isn't that whole area as dense as that? From the testimony that we heard from Mr. Barnhart, there's multiple structures on that street that have four and more units in them. Across the street, on the corners.
Every developed lot.
Every developed lot has, this meets the density of the area. It's under the density of this overlay zone.
I'm just arguing that this is a high-rise, and there aren't any other high-rises.
So...
That have been developed.
Understand that you keep using the word high-rise. By my definition, that's not a high-rise.
I'm going by the zoning definition.
I understand that. We had that discussion.
That's the only one I can go by.
We understand that. And
right? I'm not going to, you know, my opinion is that it's a four-unit building, but it's classified as a high-rise for that reason.
It's a four-unit building that is so high, so wide, yes. And so on. And that four-unit building could be called, is in a use variance, a use code, and so on. That goes through it,
yeah.
Identifies it that way. It is the fire suppressed building as well, making it a bit safer and so on.
Yeah.
Now, a building could be right next to it with a different classification and be the same exact size building. Doesn't call it something different. But the effect of the city is still the same. So
I understand.
Let's look at the net effect of the design of zoning and what the various is. There is a variable plan of selection of buildings in that three-block area. This is a very small area. Now, so you understand, this is the only area in the city that does this, and it allows this kind of eclectic type that's there. It's three blocks, and that's it. And in there's a mixture of things, you know, like dates and so on. There used to be a six-unit, used to be a rooming house here.
I know it was there when I bought my house.
It was not
a bungalow. That's also a picture in my board letter. You know, I show what was there.
Right, and that's not was not to the benefit of the city coming forward. Now, you're entitled to your opinion, but the thing is look at developmental pattern, look at usage, look at aesthetics. And look at what goes on. Rather than arguing on the building itself, what is your objection?
Well, so let's move to the overlay district, okay? Because if the board's inclined to consider this as a product in the overlay district, you created the rules that go in the overlay district. It's supposed to be on a 10,000 square foot lot. This is a 3,000 square foot lot. It's supposed to have 15 foot side yard setbacks. He's asking for three. Supposed to have 15, I think, in the back. All the dimensions are in my letter. It's a gross overuse of a piece of ground. And this board created the rules that says, hey, if we're going to accept something like this, it needs to be on this size property with these kinds of setbacks. And I understand that, you know, the pathway through that is to ask for variances. I'm suggesting that those variances are excessive. It would be an excessive granting.
You say 10,000 square feet. Then do you realize that half in the Barrier Islands, that a 10,000 square foot lot is almost non-existent. And we have a few of them in the city.
I understand that, but you created the rule. This board created the rule. And they said 10,000 square feet ought to be the size if we're going to allow four units or higher. Or three units or higher, I think the rule is.
So this is what.
And then, and the same thing for the front yard setback. And, you know, what's going on here is in order to make that product potentially, you know, sellable, they've got to go to all the, you know, maximum directions it can get so they can get the square footage inside. It's, you know, I understand that. But I'm suggesting that it's just a complete overuse of the property.
So this is what's considered infill development. This is an isolated lot. It's been vacant for many years. It's been tried to be developed for years. Never worked. I don't know why. Previous owner didn't have the dollars for it, whatever, didn't have the investment. We have new developers are coming in. They think this product will work here. It is a lot on a parcel. I agree with you there. But it fits the neighborhood. The majority of the uses there are this. The two buildings on the beachfront, by the definition of our ordinance, and I don't agree with the definition of our ordinance, calls them a high-rise because they're four stories and above. That's in my mind, this is either a mid or a low-rise structure itself. It's semantics.
The city has to be prepared for is if you grant these kinds of excessive variances, you point to the place across the street. Okay? There's a 12 units apartment right across the street. Does he get to go 12 stories high and ask for similar kind of variance?
He would probably need a height variance for that.
Right.
This doesn't need a height variance.
But he would be entitled to ask, and you guys
can ask
explain to him why he doesn't get it, and this guy does.
You can ask for anything. We have to justify it. Now, you missed all the testimony that was here earlier tonight that Mr. Barnhart, Mr. DeFay put on the record that explained why they were doing this project, and all those reasons were set forth on the record. You didn't hear that.
Well, at the time that this was, you know, similarly approved in 2008 and didn't get built, they promised at that time that, you know, he was going to have a shovel in the ground this fall. And that never happened. And I think at the time, you know, it was a different economic environment in the city. The whole city was kind of struggling, you know, coming out of 08, trying to think how can we spur some development. And I get why at the time they thought it might be appropriate to do that. On the corner was the bank property that was sat vacant for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on Surrey, none of those houses were built. It was all old stuff.
Right.
And, you know, slowly things started happening. You know, the town's booming now. And, you know, for whatever reason it was granted before, I argued at the time it was a mistake. I didn't appeal it at the time. You know, when the decision was made, largely because I didn't think it would ever happen. And, you know, he's come with this application. I think this may be the third time, you know, and it's always something's going to happen and nothing ever happens. But, you know, that's all beside the point. I'm just arguing the board created a rule book, you know, and I understand a little variance here or there, but to grant a 62% decrease in lot size, you know, so that he could build this product right next to me. By the way, he's 7 feet up my window. 1, 2, 3, 4 neighbors. 7 feet.
I appreciate what you're saying, but we have to look at the facts that every lot has a right to be utilized properly in the context of what's in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm a duplex, and all six that were built in the corner are duplex.
Right. If we followed and made sure that the building, you know, the bulk requirements, whatever they are, whatever zone, if we stuck to them, like you cannot, you're forbidden not to have, it has to be exactly what the bulk requirements, then there would be no variances. There would be no need for that because you couldn't build anything.
I'm not suggesting that
that's
you shouldn't.
That's basically the argument you're making. You're saying that here is a lot.
I'm suggesting that they're excessive.
Excuse me, sir. Could you let him finish his point? And then
I understand the point you're making.
But
okay.
That doesn't have the right to speak.
Interrupting me.
I apologize.
Yeah, that's right. So we have to make a decision based on the circumstances, what's going on the street, looking at the intent of what's being applied to us, and not stick to the fact that we have to religiously stick to the bulk requirement. So that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're going to consider. I appreciate your view, but could you go on to your next point?
Well, my counterpoint to that is there was no, the rule book before was in place, and you used a single family guidance to give the variances the first time. Then the board, in their wisdom, decided that they needed to have a rule book in place, and you passed that. And now to sit here in front of me and tell me the very first occasion that this comes in and you get a challenge that, hey, variances are meant to be broken. You know, we don't, you know. We
no, 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 not, they're not to be broken. You look at the circumstances.
Yes, I
okay? And that's what we're going to consider. We haven't made a decision, so you're already prejudging.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so what is your next point?
I just wonder if I had... I think that was largely it. I mean, Larry, I don't know if you were able to... You also have a letter from the neighbor that's in the 4 unit, and she raises, you know, a variety of other concerns. I just would encourage you to take a good look at that letter and add that to your review for...
Just for the record, you know, we're not allowed to take letters in. We have to have people here like yourself, like Larry, Mr. Berger, sorry, to testify, to put on the record that we can ask questions of. We can't take a letter because we can't cross-examine, nor can the applicant cross-examine that person.
Yeah, the only letters I haven't seen any letters. The only letters I have are the two I read into the record where we're requesting postponements. Any other letter that gets into the merits is hearsay, and the law says it's hearsay. It's not evidence. The board can't get it. We put it in the case file, but none of the board members see it.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought you could, you know, put a letter in public record.
You could come read a letter that you wrote if it helps you, but just to send a letter and not be here now, that's hearsay.
Oh, Paul?
Yes.
Have you considered, you talk about this stuff, the size of something. Consider the point is that in zoning and planning, they give a lot of, you're looking at you're looking from a viewpoint, a lens, if you will, from a small point. The purpose of it is flexibility. Now, the problem is that when you have larger projects, the sites are not zoning. Like they did some here, they allow for a larger area to be developed. Now, it doesn't mean that it has to be. It says that that's the larger area. The area that we, if you look at a city like this, and so on, you go through, the commonality of it is we don't have those large areas, but somebody could come in and put a project together. It's allowed. So we don't limit. And that's the purpose of doing these things. It's not limited. Now, at the same time, if there's a 3,000 square foot lot, which there are tons of in the city, which is the predominant developmental pattern for 4,000 square foot lots. It's the predominant developmental pattern. Then the city has to work with those things. The idea is to move incrementally forward and improve ourselves, renewing our stocks, renewing our designs, improving the quality, keeping the tax base up, and going. So you don't zone buildings or pieces of ground out of existence. We try to work with those and develop them. This is a unique block area because it's so eclectic with different styles. And there, now a lot of those buildings on this look like they are, they're maxed out on their little lot. And so they're right there. They're maxed out too. So if they can max out, and this one is realistic and so on, it's not higher than the rest of them and so on, it fits into place, then it is considerable. It can be considered. And if it needs that, that's up to the merits of the job. And that's how we look at it. But
I understand. I appreciate where you're coming from.
So you understand how the ordinances are created. They're created. So if we can get a larger project that's going to do something for the city, we'll take it.
I understand that. That's why you wanted a 10,000 square foot lot. That means like somebody says, hey, I'm going to build a project. I'd be better prepared to do some assembly and put a couple lots together. Now I have the right product to put on the property.
You're pretty astute. Now, you know,
like right behind me is two parking lots. Maybe that's big enough for this kind of development.
Well, I don't know, and it's up to the owners of those properties.
I don't probably need to say much else. I just encourage the board to understand that, you know, what's at risk here is, you know, the one decision to the next. And I think that there are vacant lots, you know, by way of parking lots. There's a six unit across the street, or I think a four unit across the street that's much lower. There's a 12 unit right beside that. There's, you know, in each one of those and any of the lots behind on the next street, I think people are going to start targeting these lots and saying, hey, you know what? Ventnor allows four unit high buildings. And you'll have to explain to them why they can't.
In 2013, that's it, 2013? What happened to 12? What happened to 12?
In the first time it was approved?
No. We had Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you realize what Hurricane Sandy has done to the entire state of New Jersey and the Barrier Islands? The impact it has on it?
Yeah.
What? It pushed everything up.
Yeah,
the flood ratings.
Yeah,
so now when we had a flood rating where a building level would be, say, 2 feet off, 3 feet off grade, it's now 9 or 10 feet off grade, or even 12 feet off grade, depending on how it qualifies and someone goes through. We added an extra, basically, the state law added an extra 4 to every building in the flood zones. And this is where the city is working with. The dynamics of it, the lot sizes that you have. Now, a 10,000 square foot lot in South Jersey, in a beachfront community, is like hen's teeth. We have a couple in the city, and they'll probably develop that as single family homes because they're beachfront. Now, there's a couple down in Avalon, there's a couple other places in there. They're not common. They're not there. So we have to deal with the housing stocks and the reality of the city. Now, this city zoning was built, and the city was designed mainly in 1928. Mm-hmm. Now, we went through a big procedure about years ago. We thought we could change the city. Oh, and make it improve. Or change the zoning and setbacks and so on. The biggest fiasco we ever tried. Because you can't change the buildings, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of buildings in here or in there, because they don't move. So you have to deal with the ordinances, the way this thing, the pattern is developed. And this is the way it began since 1928. We're trying to improve it incrementally.
Does the pattern include the type of building?
Yes, the height of the buildings is
not the height, the type.
The type is evolved by the technology of the country and the building industry.
Is there another product like this anywhere in Ventnor?
I will defer to that. I believe there is in there. There's houses that are almost that big, like that.
No, a four unit.
Joe?
I think we saw that, I think.
But there are properties. Now, the thing is he meets the building code. If he does,
yeah, I understand.
I said the board does not decide that here. We don't decide the building code. He has to meet that code.
I understand that.
Now,
so I believe the testimony provided evidence of that.
And so I did. So there's always other restrictions and so on. They're there.
This board's here for use and variances.
The codes evolve.
Yes.
The buildings have evolved over time. Time, things don't stand still, and the city doesn't stand still. When cities stand still, you stop dead.
Do you think the city stood still?
No.
Neither do I. I think it's flourishing right now.
The city right now is I've been here a long time, and I'll tell you, the city is the best and going forward.
Best it's ever been.
I have a goal in this city. one on this board.
Yeah.
And that was to get the city to be able to rejuvenate itself.
I would like to suggest that we're going far beyond.
Yeah, I understand there's a time limit.
Just a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
When the Burger project, which was the suburban, where you lived, did you object to that particular project going up?
No.
So you're aware that it was, you know, approved for 10 bedrooms, may only have 8 bedrooms, but 58 feet height, which is greater than what we are?
All 6 units?
6 units, except
yeah.
8 and 10 bedrooms per duplex, and the buildings are all 58 feet height. Did you object to that?
I didn't object to that, largely because it was a duplex. And I noticed the height difference, and, you know, but I didn't say.
The house next door.
Because of the flood problem, right?
You own the house next door, correct?
Yes.
Currently for sale?
Yes.
You're now living on Oxford Avenue?
Yes.
So could be a potential negative sale to you that somebody would be building this building 4 feet away, 52 feet height.
That's one concern, yeah, for sure.
That was it.
You Paul, you brought up other properties on that street. Again, I give them back to the one five shop for you. Would you rather have something like that? And you know that building. I've been in there many times doing it. 105, the maroon building directly across the street from you.
The small brown?
Yeah, the one directly across the street from you on Victoria.
Yeah, the one across from me is the apartment.
The 12-unit apartment.
Yeah.
Right? Would you rather have more buildings like that or something like this?
Well, that's a different...
Right, it's existing, I understand.
Yeah.
But...
That's a different app altogether.
I'm going to change my language here, but that's not a nice building.
Yeah.
And you've lived across from one for years, and you know the people that live there,
I'm not arguing that it isn't a good-looking prop.
Well, I just don't think it fits on a street. Let me finish. Especially...
He heard
the fire department.
Yeah.
I would, you know, you never wish for a fire, but I feel much safer with a building like this, the school.
Yeah, you don't have any concern.
Than 105 South Victoria, where you may not even send some more guys in there. That's how shady that property is.
Yeah.
So this is going to improve the neighborhood. That doesn't. I mean, you live directly across the street from it. You got to look at it every day. I'd rather look at this every day.
Yeah.
And one more question.
Yeah.
How many bedrooms do you have in your property?
On Victoria?
Your property, on Victoria.
It's 3 bedrooms.
3 bedrooms, so side by side.
Three with a lock. And then
technically, you right next door, there's 8 bedrooms right there in that building. He has 3 properties, correct?
I'm 3 and he's 3. 6.
6.
And a lot.
Well, it's
possibly be another bedroom.
Well, it isn't, but yeah.
But it's possible. So you could, theoretically, you have, and you're side by side, 4 and 4 bedrooms.
You'd have to build
I'm just saying
a few things inside, but sure.
But it's possible. This right here is only going to have 8 bedrooms. And you mentioned square footage earlier. You missed the testimony earlier. What'd you say the square footage was each unit?
1,400
square feet. They're not huge units.
Yeah, I understand. So I understand all that.
I just, your arguments just fall on deaf ears with me. I think I need to say that.
But appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Did you make all the points that you wanted to make?
I think I did. I was unaware that, you know, the letters were, you know, read into testimony. So I'll have to watch that for the future. But, so unfortunately, the neighbor across the street had some pretty good points in her letter. I can't remember what all they were. I think, you know, fire is one, but
the fire is just, that's not on the police suppressor.
Yeah. So, I understand that.
We just want to make sure before you walk away that you made all your points and that you may not be satisfied with us, but we came back with some of your answers for it.
The other issue we just wanted to address, you mentioned the parking lots behind. Mr. Barnhart had testified that those parking lots are deeded to the breakers and the good job. So I can't imagine if they're ever going to be sold. You got 61 units in one.
Never know.
You have to deal 61 units with us.
To answer your question, I disagree with the fact that this commission can, you know, create, you know, go through the trouble of creating an overlay district and purposely put in high-rise apartments and then create the criteria around it, and then sit here today and say, no, that doesn't really matter, you know, it's all we can consider it, but, you know, what, you know, we were looking at the product itself, so.
Well, I think we let you say your piece.
Yeah, thank you.
And we appreciate you coming. I don't know what else to say.
I appreciate it, thank you for your time.
Paul? You came, you said your piece.
Yes.
You did it well. And you exercised your rights in doing so. I congratulate you.
Thank you.
Will we close the public session?
I didn't know if Mr. Dowling had any comments.
We don't have any, nothing further, no rebuttal.
Okay, is there anyone in the public who wishes to continue and speak in? Hearing none, the public portion is now closed, and you may continue, Mr. Dowling.
We're completed.
Okay. Have you gone over the engineer's report?
We've gone over the engineer's report. We concur with it, and we concur with the conditions that you've placed on the record tonight, dealing with pavers and dry wells, et cetera.
And Roger, do you have anything with plans or something you need them to do or instructions for them?
No, I think John and I will be in conversation to iron out the details that we discussed.
Okay. With that, are you now finished?
Finished.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant, their testimony, or our professionals? That is the case. Leo, we will need a motion in the affirmative. It's all on time. And for this application.
All right. I'll summarize everything, then we're going to need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote. But it says preliminary and final major site plan approval for the project. The variances I have are as follows. Front yard setback, is 12 feet or 15 feet required. Front yard setback to the decks, 8.5 feet or 10 feet required. Side yard setbacks on each side are 4 feet, where the requirement's 15 feet. The rear yard setback is 3 feet, where the requirement's 15 feet. Building coverage, they're at 63%. Whether that'll come down slightly based on what we're doing with the landscaping and pavers, sure. So the building coverage is 63%. Is 60 permitted in this zone?
Yes.
Okay. And then lot coverage is 80%. That'll probably slightly come down. Whereas 75% is the permitted maximum. There's a rooftop deck, which is a variance also because they're not technically permitted. In Mr. McCarney's report, he's noted a couple of waivers, landscape buffers, landscaping in the parking area. I mean, I think we're going to do something there, right? Two street trees. One is being provided, I believe. So one will be waived, and then I guess this
number four is not a waiver.
Number four is not a waiver. That can go away. The conditions that I'll articulate a little better, and I'll probably need Mr. McCarney's input a little bit, but he's going to label the color scheme. Mr. Dovedale labeled the color schemes on his plan when he submits the revised plans, and then whether we need to re-articulate them now. I mean, I know they're going to do some pavers and dry wells in the front and in the rear. Is that
or equivalent
in the rear? I'll get the language in there. I'll work with Mr. McCarney, and I'll share it with the applicant and Mr. Barnhart, so we get all those conditions clear.
Just to be clear on the lot coverage is still at 80%, but what we're going to do is to compensate through that difference with storage.
Okay.
Water retention.
Water retention.
Water retention.
Water retention, but that will take it down, but it'll just, it'll help the overall.
Right.
Also.
We'll try to do it at 5%.
That would be opposed to a recharge, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Water retention and recharge.
Very good. Then I'll note any other conditions in Mr. McLaren, in connection with the site plan, Mr. McLaren's report. Yeah, he went through all the site plan requirements. To the extent some of the technical requirements are not met, there'll be what we call submission or